Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan, 877-337-6666. We're talking Knicks. Unfortunately, we thought today might be a little bit of a celebration, garden party last night. I felt, BT, not to compare round one to a Stanley Cup final, but it was a little reminiscent to me of when the Rangers had a chance to close things out in 94 against the Canucks in Game 5 at the Garden. Everybody was expecting that was going to be the night that they were going to win the Stanley Cup and the 1940 chance and all that stuff, and they didn't. Then it goes back to Vancouver before coming back for a Game 7 in which they ultimately won. That was kind of the thought process I had last night, where we almost all, even though I had my doubts about this series, the expectation, you kind of felt deep down like, all right, they're going to do it tonight. This is Game 5. Knicks are going to do it. And they should have done it, by the way. They were up. They had the game won. Took a miracle and a disaster. Many different players, whether it's Mitchell Robinson, whether it's Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, Thibodeau, all of the above. But the fact that the Knicks lost that game, terribly disappointing.
So you still think they win the series? Because we haven't gotten the definitive.
Here's how I'm going to say this. Going in, prior to the play-in game, I'm going to take you through my process here. Okay. Prior to the play-in game, I did not want Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
After watching the play-in game, I felt like Philadelphia was the better matchup for the Knicks. I just didn't think they were good. I didn't think Batum could do it. I thought they were a little soft.
Tobias Harris.
Yeah, whatever.
No bench.
Like, I thought they were, okay. After watching game one, I was discouraged. More than encouraged about the Knicks getting the win, I was like, hey, yeah, they got the win, which is nice. You can't play like this and beat the Sixers team. They're too good with the two talented stars. Then I saw game two, and that made it even worse because they should have lost that game, and they didn't play well. Game three, I expected that to be the case. So really, game four was the determining factor. That was the swing game.
Mm-hmm.
Brunson goes off. Knicks play great. They get a win on the road, take a commanding 3-1 lead, feeling good. Never like, oh, it's definitely over. Still, we talked about, I'm like, hey, it's far from over here. Yes, you're up 3-1, but they're dangerous, Philadelphia. So after watching game four, I'm encouraged. Nothing I saw last night would discourage me. I mean, obviously the result is what it is, and they should have won. But I'm still feeling nervous about this Sixer team being dangerous. However, I'd be lying to you if I said, like, my gut after game two was that the Knicks were going to lose this series.
Mm-hmm.
My gut after game five is I still feel deep down the Knicks are going to figure out a way to get this done. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if it were the other way around. And for whatever reason, in my heart, in my mind, I felt like Philadelphia was going to win this series. You know, Spike talked about it being the year, and it would be typical where nobody expects Philadelphia this year to do anything, especially after being down 0-2. Sometimes that's what it takes, right? You overcome, like the Red Sox did with the Yankees. You overcome the impossible
mm-hmm.
to get over that hump. And for the Sixers, it would be beating the Knicks after being down 0-2, being down 3-1, then having a cakewalk. For them, they'd be looking at it the same way we are. Like, they'll beat whoever it is in the second round,
yep,
and then go take their chances with the Celtics. And maybe this is the year they get past, you know, not only the semis, but they get past.
Well, and by the way, KP's probably not going to be back for the Celtics at that point. And if he is, he's going to be hobbled. He got hurt, as you know.
So a part of me does think the Sixers, this could be their year, as much as I hate to admit that. But, I mean, still hard to imagine the Knicks losing both these games. This would be a devastating loss. So to answer your question, I don't have a true gut feel, but if I had to, I would probably lean Knicks, figure out a way to get one of the next two.
Okay, so you talk about, you know, this could be the Sixers' year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way Joel Embiid could play basketball for another month or so, or six weeks, whatever's required to win the championship. I'm not sure if he could play another week. I mean, unless he's just really laid it on thick, that man is obviously compromised. It's going to be an incredibly quick turnaround. I think he's going to be like a statue.
But if you're them,
the first half on Thursday.
If you're them, aren't you looking at it saying, hey, maybe we could do the unthinkable? Now we got game six back
sure
at our place. And if they beat the Knicks, you look ahead and say the Pacers and Bucks.
Sixer fans can't dream. I just don't think it's very likely that Joel Embiid could play at that high. Now, I think Maxey can. At that high level, just based on the sheer physical ailments, plural, for 6 or 7 weeks, I don't think so. And it's interesting, too, because as you just detailed, and it's been
right,
a wave. You've been up and down and up and down, and your instincts have taken you a lot of different directions. I've never changed. Like, yeah, Philly, that's fine, whatever. Yeah, I know it's not a conventional 2-7 matchup, whatever, we'll beat them.
But they have changed.
No, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, your mentality throughout, my mentality throughout has always been, all right, whoever it is, you know, all right, great, Philly, Miami, whatever. Okay, yeah, great, 7 seed. Knicks will find a way to win. We find out it's Philly. You know, not the predictions mean a ton, whatever. They're a dime a dozen. I said Knicks in 6. I still think Knicks will win in 6. And nothing during the series has deterred me from believing, you know, on the basketball cerebral level, non-fan level. I do think there's other matchups down the road that could complicate their world more than this particular one, even though Embiid's great and Maxey's been better. They're going to win.
Ultimately, well, okay, why do you think they're going to win?
I just think they're tougher. They're a tougher team. They're a deeper team. And the way they lost last night, now I know you have to give credit to Maxey. Gets fouled, double pump, 3-point or 4-point play, bow. Like, we bow with LJ?
Mm-hmm.
Sick. I mean, incredible all-time shot. I show you respect. I salute you. That's amazing. I don't know if anybody else in the world could do that at that moment. He did. And then, obviously, hitting the 3 from 35 feet out to tie it, he did. But the malfunctions that occurred prior to him being able to be great in those moments, I just don't see them happening again.
Right.
And if they don't, the Knicks would have won.
Ultimately, to me, I think they're going to win because of Brunson. So you say, yeah, I changed. And I did. And the reason is, in games one and games two, Brunson didn't do anything. And if that stayed course, as I said, the Knicks were going to lose this series. And I firmly believe they should have lost game two. They didn't. But if Brunson did not start to turn it around, they would not have a chance in this series. He did. And even with the loss last night, he'll clean those little things up at the end of the game,
yep,
and they will win either game 6 or game 7 because he's going to have at least one more superstar clean performance. That's why I do think ultimately the Knicks will figure out a way to win this series. Mitchell's in Fort Lee. What's up, Mitch?
Hello, Sal. Hey, BT. How's everything? All right, here we go, guys. First of all, I've called everyone, BT, to go with me tomorrow night to Philadelphia. Nobody wants to go. You can get a ticket for $149 And I just looked online now when I was holding on to go to a Knicks game for Saturday's game. They went always between 700 and 1,000 for up to the nosebleed seats. It's unbelievable, but that's okay.
Well, maybe now, Zoo will go with you, Mitchell. Get talk to Zoo, and maybe you said you were going to offer to drive, right? You could drive there and back.
That's right.
And there you go. I mean, Zoo, you want to go with Mitchell? We went to game two. Hoff and I went to game two of the Rangers with Mitchell. He's a great time. I would go. I really don't want to. It's a Thursday.
No, I met Mitchell before. We were at City Field together.
Yeah, yeah. For the right.
Mitchell's a man.
Yeah,
no.
Mitchell.
Is that a yes?
By the way, Mitchell also went to Rangers game 4 in Washington, correct?
Wow.
That's right. Yes.
And you went to the Knicks last night.
Yeah, and last night's game was a disaster. It reminded me of Reggie Miller hitting that shot in the Garden and turning our heads and saying it's unbelievable. But I got to tell you, last night's game, if you look at it, you got to blame the head coach Thibodeau. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, Embiid is injured. He could have run up and down the court. If you watched him through the whole game, and we just watched it on TV, he wasn't dominant. When Embiid's not injured, he would take the ball, dribble, go down the lane, and go slam the ball down someone's throat. He couldn't do that. He just stood out there, and he passed the ball for the whole game. And again, with that time left, with not trying to foul them at the end of the game, before Maxi hits the three-pointer to go to overtime, and then the other one, when he hits it at the end, is a complete joke, and you got to blame the head coach for that. He was lost last night. That's my personal opinion.
No, thank you for the call, Mitchell.
Hey, somebody else sees it the right way. Tom Thibodeau was awful last night. And Tom Thibodeau has been great this year. He was horrendous last night.
But then why would you have confidence in them winning the series or even beyond that if you don't love Tibbs? I'm not saying you don't love him. Like, personally, I don't think he's a good coach. But if you have questions about him,
Because I have more questions about Philly.
So, like, if we talk about the Jets and I could say, well, I don't think the Jets are going to go far because of the head coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel like that with Tibbs.
No, but I don't feel like that.
Okay, but.
But I mean, there's a lot of delineation between somebody that, you know, looks like a championship coach in those moments and somebody who doesn't. The answer is probably somewhere in between. I said to Sal a couple hours ago, is that happening with the Heat? Like,
what whether did he say Butler's after on the game? Did you see Tibbs said, yesterday? I did not see
it. I watched it. I'll tell you what he said. He said, I won't quote him here, but he said, basically, he inferred that somebody failed to do their job without taking a player under the bus. Okay, so...
So you don't think that McBride maybe just didn't, you know, young player...
Well, I don't think that Tom Thibodeau communicated it properly or effectively enough. I'm not saying that it wasn't said.
Has to be McBride, no?
Yeah, I would think so, because you don't want to do it when Mitchell Robinson was in space when he has a three. You want to do it when Embiid's setting the pick and he's not even a threat to shoot. That's when you have to do right as he's crossing midcourt at 10 seconds. We went through this frame by frame.
Right, you can't leave doubt. It's just got to be done. There's no excuse. It's on. Even if the player didn't do his job, that's on the coach.
Listen, I mean, when situations unfold, whether you have a timeout in the bag, you know, when you last convene as a team during a timeout, if you have none left or you do have one, but you might not want to burn it in that moment, right? Philly had none, as we know. You've got to communicate every situation. If he hits this free throw, this happens. If he sticks both, we're doing this. And it didn't seem like that was the case. And they seemed scattered, and they seemed unsure. And I don't think two things could be true. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and laud Deuce McBride for being this great defensive, instinctual defender all season and going back to his West Virginia days with Bobby Huggins and then suddenly not knowing what to do. I don't think it was communicated clearly and effectively enough. That's on the coach.
Tommy is in Fairfield. What's up, Tommy?
How's it going, guys? First-time caller. I love listening to you guys' show. I just graduated college, walked to class by Odyssey app on. I'm driving my grandpa's car back to Florida right now.
Nice.
Thank you. Odyssey
app. Living the life, man. No bills, you know, having a little fun on college, listening to BT.
I mean, no,
hey, can we come hang out with you in college?
Yeah, right.
Sal, you want to go to a party?
I graduated this recently. So.
Congratulations, dude. Have fun getting a job. There are none.
Hopefully soon. I need to get out of my house.
I'm teasing.
What I was going to ask is, I heard you earlier, BT, talking about how the Knicks have the potential to bring you as much joy as any other team. What about the Jets, man? I feel like you're a huge Jets fan.
I am.
It looks like Robert Saleh, I'm a huge Jets fan, too. I don't think any sports team could, like, a Super Bowl by the Jets, there's nothing. Like, Yankees are second for me, Knicks third, but nothing would even be close to that Jets.
For the Jets. You know what it is, Tom? I hear you, and thanks for the call, man, and love hearing the younger students listening to BT and Sound the Fan. That's awesome. Congrats on the graduation. Listen, I've been asked this question a lot. If you could pick one, Knicks or Jets, which way are you going? And it's a torment. It's almost impossible to answer, but when I get around to my answer... My answer is the Knicks. And I'll tell you why. Because with the Jets, you know, for the Jets to win a Super Bowl, unless they do it the route of the wild card, which is, you know, not improbable. I mean, it could happen. I mean, it's happened before with wild card teams, Giants. You're only playing a couple of games. So generally, when you win the Super Bowl, generally, you get a first round bye. You play a home game. Boom, you win it. Amazing. It would be sick. But the thing about the NBA playoffs, like, the energy day to day and from game to game. Think about how you felt yesterday when you woke up knowing that we got a chance to close these punks out and just shut the door on Philly. That's one set of emotions. Think about how you felt when you woke up this morning. It's a little different, isn't it? Less spring in your step. You're worried now, and you should be. I'm worried, too. And then think about how that's going to, trust me, that's going to dissipate a little bit. And by 9 o'clock tomorrow night, which sucks as a start time, you are going to be fully regenerated as a Knicks fan and ready to go. And that confidence is going to be, so there'll be a little trepidation just given the stage. I get it. But now it's going to go from angst to oomph. And you don't get that in the NFL because it's once a week and it's amazing in its own right. But the Knicks championship, it would be a 7 weeks of just craziness every day.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking about it in comparison. I'm surprised, actually, that that's your answer. We've talked about this. So I knew your answer, but I'm surprised that you would choose really anybody over the Jets. Just, you know, what it would mean. Yes, I understand the Ron and good explanation. I feel like the Jets would mean more, but that's just me. If I were comparing it, I think somebody did ask me this the other day, which one would I want more, Knicks or Rangers? As much as I want to say Knicks because I haven't seen it, I don't feel as connected to this Knicks team. It's nowhere near where I was in the 90s to the Knicks.
Like, yep.
I love that team with every fiber of my being, and I love the Knicks, but maybe it's because of the, you know, 20-plus year absence. Maybe it's because of getting older. I don't know, but I still feel a closer connect to the Rangers than I do with the Knicks.
I understand that.
Why is that, though?
Well, I also think that, and I don't begrudge people. I don't call them out for doing this. Like, I can't stand, like, the fan police. Like, I don't do this. I'm not saying I never did it at one point in my career. I probably judged the levels of fandom, but I'm beyond that. But what I say that because I never checked out of the Knicks. Mm-hmm. And some people did. I don't blame you. There was nothing to it was Jeff Hornacek. It was Fisher. Yeah, it was Phil
Jackson. That's your problem, not my
head. It was Moody. Yeah, yeah. I know. I'm not saying I sat and watched 82 games, tip to buzzer, but, man, I watched a lot. And, you know, I'm immersed in the college games. I was always paying attention to the prospects. And maybe the balls dropped their way finally for once, and they would get the prospect. So I never fully checked out. I think when you never fully check, I wasn't even close to fully checking out. When you don't check out, you don't lose the closeness because you almost appreciate it more. I don't want to say that I appreciate this more than you. And again, I'm not judging, but
I mean, I was I had partial season tickets in recent years, the Mellow 51 season. So it's not like,
yeah, but that was a while ago. Yeah, what about after KP went down? Were you watching some of the, like, probably not as much as others were?
Well, no, but that's fine. But I wasn't locked into the Rangers every step of the way since 94 either. But the moments that the Rangers were good were more often over the last 20 plus years than the Knicks.
That's why this one's more important, because it's so rare.
Right. I guess. I'm just telling you how I feel. Like, I like this team a lot. And I'll tell you, the one caveat could be Brunson, because I love him arguably as much as I've ever loved any Nick.
Yep.
And you know what also it could be? And I think maybe this is the root of it, as opposed to the checking out. I know we get a break here. We'll break and then get back to the calls. The belief in what they are. Like, even the 2015 Mets, had they won the championship, the World Series, I wouldn't, like, I never felt like that was a World Series winning team. Never. 2006, yes, World Series caliber. 2022, I felt like they were World Series caliber. I never felt like 2015.
So you don't think you would have enjoyed it as much? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Oh, yes, I am saying that. And I'm saying the same thing about the Knicks. I don't believe that this team is championship caliber, whereas I look at the Rangers saying, this has got to be.
Doesn't that make you appreciate it more when it's unexpected? Like the 96 Yankees, I didn't think they were going
to
win it.
No, I know, but that's a World Series caliber team, and they proved to be the
dynasty.
But
they weren't until they were. They made the wild card the year before. That was it.
I think expectation going in helps a lot. We're believing, okay, this is going to be the year, and then seeing it through. I mean, maybe it's just me.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. What a throw by Soto!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Alex is calling from East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Josh Hart is a phenomenal player, but he makes the stupidest decisions sometimes. You brought up that pass he tried making to OG Anunoby.
Yep.
That was they had the momentum. There was like 3 minutes to go in the game. You hold on to the ball, work the clock. He wasn't alone in the back. He wasn't alone in the backcourt down there. There was a defender down there with him. Stupid play. Another thing that bugs the shit out of me.
Whoa.
Hey, come on, man. Can't curse, buddy.
Yeah,
we gotta dump you.
Man, look,
I get it. We got to watch ourselves today, too. But
Bill is calling from Island Falls, Maine. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, how come you guys aren't talking about Francisco Lindor's OPS today?
Get lost, pal. Take a hike. Let's go.
Zach is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Zach?
Today.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up, Zach?
Jack. One thing is I saw on Twitter.
Jack or Zach?
Jack. What is
Jack. Say? Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jack.
I saw on Twitter you said you saw the replay. Tibbs looks like he might have told Deuce to foul Maxey at half court. You guys should check that again. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is, how do we not make sure that Brunson or our next best foul shooter has the ball when they're fouling? How does it get in Hart's hands? I don't get it.
Well, you got to understand. Well, you do, Zach. But, you know, I'm sure you watch a lot. I mean, this whole thing is whack. Zach and Jack.
That was a funny medley there. Good job, Hoff, putting
good.
That montage
crack
together.
Crack is whack.
Oh, God. By the way, we didn't get to Lindor's OPS. We'll save that for tomorrow. We'll do 4 hours
well,
on that.
Spoiler, it didn't really rise last night, so let's keep it going.
Yeah, I love what you said. Take a hike, Bill. One other thing I was thinking, BT, before we get back to the current calls here, 877-337-6666. One of the reasons why I still feel at my core, not just that the Knicks are going to win the series, not just that Brunson's going to go off, is that also I think Philadelphia is just a dumb basketball team. And they're relying on, now it's great to have the two superstars, but that's it. Like, we could sit here and say, well, the Knicks got lucky in games one and games two, or I could sit here and say that, or whoever we want to break it down, like, oh, Philadelphia could have easily, yeah, but they didn't. And that's on them. And game four.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is on them, and they were very fortunate to be in there last night. And if you continue to just rely simply on the talents of Tyrese Maxey or Joel Embiid, it's not going to be enough. So they do dumb things. They, you know, whether it's coaching, whether it's not calling a timeout when they should, being sloppy with the basketball. Ultimately, I've seen too much bad from them through the first five games.
Yep.
So I think combined with Brunson being able to take over one of the next two games minimum, and Philadelphia just being sloppy themselves throughout, that's been consistent. There may have been some ups and downs throughout the series from either side. One thing that's been consistent is Philadelphia is not a smart basketball team.
Yeah, but I don't think this is the day to laud intelligence, because the Knicks played like dopes last night.
Understood. Yeah, understood.
You know what I mean? Who's the one malfunctioning with the lack of awareness and IQ and basketball aptitude? It was the Knicks.
Right, but if you're projecting for the two games moving forward, to your point, you think the Knicks are too tough. Like, the Knicks usually don't beat themselves.
Yeah, which is why I liked them coming into the series, and which is why I still like them. But
Sixers beat themselves, you could argue, the first two games of the series.
Yeah, I mean, there's elements of that at play for sure. And last night, and we'll say this about these Knicks here, they've earned this respect. Their toughness and their IQ and their aptitude has been proven, and their resolve and their resilience from minute one this year with all the challenges they faced. Now, Philly's had a few as well, obviously, and Embiid was banged up, and they were the seventh seed, had to play the play-in, get past that, those obstacles that they had. But last night was an anomaly. Like, the Knicks never melt that way. And I'm going to choke it up as, a really, Sal, as an isolated incident. until it happens again, which I don't think it will.
Greg is calling from Long Island. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Greg. Good.
I wanted to blame the loss on the MC announcer last night. You know why?
He's the best. Why? What'd he do?
He played New York, when they were up by six.
Uh-huh.
During the timeout.
I heard
that's
it.
That's the kiss of death. You can't play that until the game is over.
That's not true. They always play it during the...
Yeah.
What are you talking
about?
It's
not the Yankees, and thanks for the call. They
it's
don't
not
do
Sinatra.
All right, they don't do that after a win, right?
No, they do it. They do it now. And this is what sucks when it's not on MSG, when you don't watch it on MSG or it's not or whatever.
I actually watched both last night.
I'm locked into the national broadcast for some reason. It's almost like I forget.
I
watched the post game on MSG, but.
I was locked in. Finish what you were going to say.
So when it's on MSG, they give you about 10, 15, 20 seconds before they go to break where they're just banging the music and you see the crowd going nuts. And I even said it. I knew. That it was going to be the moment that they played it. And I said to my family, like, oh, they're going to bump the music now. They're going to play Go New York, Go New York, Go. And they only gave us like 3 or 4 minutes, but you could hear it, like that little jingle. I'm not sure what the instrument is, like at the start of it, the prelude. And it's such an awesome moment, but they always do it at a moment where they think they've got either something rocking or they're trying to rally, generally the former, when they think they have it on lock here. So I was very surprised that they wait. I thought they could have played. They usually played a little bit earlier, but they never played after the game, unless they play both. But I don't even think they do that. It's always when we just flexed on you. We think we're winning this game. Now we play our song.
So I was watching the majority of the game on the national call, and I was enjoying every second of Ian Eagle.
He was great.
I love him. I think he's the best. Yeah, I didn't know he had such a repertoire of the bucket
some
being
expressions
made.
Expressions.
Oh, yeah. No, bingo, and he was all of it. Boom.
Well, bingo was Minko. Is he biting off Minko now?
He used everything.
Minko stuff.
Count it.
I mean, everybody says count it.
Well, he was using all, like, I don't know the exact one.
I'm messing around with you. He actually busted out a few. I'm like, well, that's, it almost sounds like you went in the lab and you came up with some new stuff.
He had 30 different bucket calls. But I was enjoying, I love Ian so much, and I love him even more because it's rare that we see it on an important Knicks game. Like, think about how many times Ian is, the Knicks haven't had important games, and then the fact that Ian's doing it, so it was great.
And he's good with Grant Hill. They work well.
Yeah, whatever.
I think Grant's pretty good. Like him as much?
No, I love Ian. Grant was fine. I think he's fine.
Gotcha.
And I like Grant as a player. But I switched off because they went, and I watched the majority of the game, but I think it was late third quarter, maybe even in the fourth quarter. I switched off because they went to break too quick, and I wanted to hear more of the music in the background and get the atmosphere. And I was curious.
Yes.
Flip it on to MSG, and I got that, and I stuck with it.
You did.
The rest of the game. And then I thought to myself,
bad job out of me. I got to start doing that again.
Well, and then I thought to myself, I screwed this up because remember I told you I believe in the jinxes
superstition. Why do you
I switched over and the Knicks started to lose control of the game?
Why do you believe in that?
I know it shouldn't, but I'm just saying it
means nothing. And can I just disprove that? Listen, I know some people are superstitious. Even when I played baseball, I would try not to step on the lines. I did, I didn't really think about it too much, but I tried not to. That was about the only superstitious thing that I did. I know Boggs ate chicken and ran out at 7:07 or 7:17 the same time every game, but. See, people fixate on, like, when they deviate from their schedule, like you are a little bit right now, they fixate on the times that it goes awry. What you don't do is when you deviate from your schedule and it still works out well for you, you ignore it.
No, because I don't deviate from the schedule and it works out well.
This was the first deviation. Yeah, maybe you did mush it then.
I wasn't thinking about it as I did it, but then I noticed that the Knicks started to blow the game, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? I forget exactly what point it was, but either way, I don't...
What are you watching
little...
Saturday? Or, pardon me, tomorrow?
Who's on the call? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't even know. It's got to be on... I think it's going to be on TNT. It's a Thursday night. Right?
It was a pleasant surprise to find Ian. Here's what happened, truthfully.
He was so good.
I told you, though. I get in the car. I'm listening to the first quarter, right? Trying to go home. Then I get home. I just basically throw on the TV. Whatever comes up quickest, I click it. And then, boom. So I happened to be the national game. It just popped up, like, watch Knicks Sixers Live right now with the stupid ways that they do these new boxes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then, like I said, I wanted to go to MSG after I wanted more of a feel from the crowd. So it wasn't like I specifically chose one or the other, but... On Thursday, I will go based off of announcer. If Ian's doing it, I'm going to go Ian again.
Okay.
If not, then I'll probably go MSG.
But you listened to a chunk of the game on the radio?
Well, the first quarter, I had to.
I couldn't do. No, you didn't have to. I couldn't do that.
Well, I'm not DVRing it. I need to know what's going on live.
I'm not getting home
and wasting time. Also, keep in mind, I'm doing a podcast live afterwards.
I know. You're juggling. I am incapable. Last night we had a game. You know, like every night here.
You couldn't just do it on the radio.
Regular season all the time.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I didn't want to.
No.
I mean, I didn't want to do it. I had no choice. That's why I was saying I don't mind the later start. You know, by the time I get in the car, off the train, in the car, I got 25 minutes to get home.
Not me. Matter of fact, where I got in the car after the recital on Sunday, you know, not that it would have been on that station anyway because the Knicks hadn't played the night before, but I made sure I'm like just in case. I'm like, music. Like I shut it off first, then I put it on music. And last night, the game was ending. And the game that I was coaching, and my buddy, massive Knicks fan. Shout out to Mikey, and the Sun pitched great last night too. Proud of Maddie, but anyway, he's a crazy Knicks guy. This is the guy that wanted you and I to go to the suite. He invited both of us. Remember that?
Yeah.
Never happened, but he's a big fan of the show. He likes you some days, like me, some days.
Exactly.
And he goes, "Oh, Knicks 5-2." I go, "Knicks are down 5-2." Don't tell me. Stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything.
5-2.
I don't want to know anything.
5-2. What kind of score is updated is that? Basketball, it's irrelevant. Knicks are down 5-2.
I said, are you DVRing the game? You know, because his son was playing it, but he doesn't coach. So I said between, you know, the link fence, I said, did you DVR the game? Because he's a fanatical fan like me.
Right.
And he said, no. He said, Knicks are down 5-2. I said, I don't want to even know that.
I will admit, like, third quarter, second half, obviously the finish of the game, that maybe not. But in the first quarter, I'd rather be on top of it and then transition. I waited in the car till the end of the first quarter, then ran in and flipped it on.
How about, I know we got a break. I got so annoyed. I didn't really verbalize it because it was a mistake. I got so annoyed at Colt on Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. So after the dance and all the stuff, we watched the Knick game. He's got a hitting lesson, right? So I drop him off at the coach's house. Great guy. Coach is over at Seton Hall Prep. And he's a big Knicks guy, too. And he's like, I was watching the first half of the Knicks game. Now, we already know what happened, me and Colt, and pretty much everybody. He's like, don't tell me what happened. He goes, I'm DVR, I'm going to watch. And Colt goes, Knicks won. I go, what are you doing?
Colt!
What are you doing, dude?
Oh!
Read the room. Rookie mistake there, young man.
Oh!
Better not hear that again.
He gets Colt a little bit for that one.
John got a little annoyed, and so did Daddy. He played it off well, but I'm like, I'm saying, he just ruined it for the guy. He's been out here 9 hours straight doing lessons, and all he wants to do is have a beer and watch the Knicks hopefully win in half number two, and you told him.
Kids
got to learn. It's a hard lesson, but
if somebody did that to you, how would that go over?
Well, I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not going to turn into an incensed lunatic, but I'm going to be. I'm probably going to be more pissed than he was. Yeah. Put it that way. He handled it well.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Back to back. Nina belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Finish up on the phones here. Been all Knicks all day. Matter of fact, we're sitting here in studio with the game on twice now. Ugh. I've watched the replay of this game. We've had it on here.
I'm not even looking at
it. I still can't believe the foul by Mitchell Robinson and then Josh Hart not being able to knock down the first free throw there changed the entire game. I mean, my goodness. I know the Knicks should have won. There are many reasons why they didn't win, but those two in particular, BT, four-point play and then Hart missing a free throw. How many times have we seen it over the years? One thing's consistent. The NBA has changed in many ways.
Yep.
If you don't hit your free throws down the stretch, you're going to put yourself in a bad spot. Very simple. They're free throws. Like, players are bigger and stronger. Free throws the same size. Knock them down.
I tell that to my son all the time. I said, you know, it's probably the least difficult thing to do. I'm not talking about pressure. That's obviously a different level. But if you can't hit free throws, you can't be on the court final few minutes.
Guys,
you're not going to be 6'9".
Yeah, it's one thing if Mitchell Robinson's missing
probability.
It. You expect it with him.
Yep.
Josh Hart's got to make that.
Brunson missed a few too. And, you know, the thing is, when we run through everything here, and we haven't missed anything, but I haven't said this in a while, and I think it was with 3 minutes to go, I think that pass from Hart to OG, streaking down. I'm not going to lie and say that I thought at that moment they were going to then lose.
Clyde called him out on that, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. As rightfully so.
Pretty sure. So, what are you doing? What's he going to do with that in that
spot?
Slow
it down, yeah. I mean, at least it wasn't to like a big, where you have like somebody with clunky hands, maybe, even though Mitch up top is very good hands down low, it's tougher. Like, I have no problem trying to hit a streaking OG on an Opie. I mean, that's kind of what you want. He's going to finish with a flush generally, and he's got good hand eyes, going to catch it, but you got to put it on the numbers. And if you do something like that and you push the envelope aggressively rather than, you know, stalling a little bit, taking the air out of the ball, setting up the offense in the half court sense, if you don't do that, you better connect. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, when that went out of bounds, that I thought that they were going to lose. I didn't. I still thought they were going to absolutely win. But I remember saying out loud, I was like, oh, man, like, missed opportunity. Like, yeah, you just can't have it. Every little minute thing adds up.
There were three or four of those, maybe two or three of those down the stretch that I remember saying the same thing to myself, like, ah, oh, what are you doing? Like, it's one thing you miss a shot, all right, whatever. But when you're sloppy like that, when you're turning the ball over down the stretch,
yep,
and it's not even because of great defense, that's a problem. And the Knicks did that multiple times.
They
where
did.
It wasn't like the Sixers' defense was swarming and the Knicks got frustrated. And they were just the Knicks beat themselves last night. They did what Philadelphia did in the first two games. The Knicks beat themselves last night. That is rare. This team generally does not do that. Now, it took a heroic effort from Maxey, of course, for the Sixers to steal it, but the Knicks beat themselves. If they play clean basketball, smart basketball, like they generally do, they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
And I think most of us think that they will get back to that at least once in the next two games to win the series, but...
They better.
Yeah, they better. Otherwise, it's not going to be a pleasant few days here on The Fan, because it's going to be tough discussions to be had, and we'll have them for you and with you. But there was a play, there's so many plays in my head. There was also a play... Zoo, if you remember the time, tell us, and then we'll get back to the calls here, obviously, Sal. I forget. I don't even remember who it was. I think it was Josh Hart, I think, where he threw like a low bounce pass to Mitchell Robinson rather than going up top. And Grant Hill even said, feed the big man up top, not down. How much time was left? Do you remember off the top of your head?
No, I don't remember that play. That,
that was a big turnover.
Yeah, that was still probably over 2 or 3 minutes left.
Yeah, and I'm not saying there were seconds, but there was only a couple of minutes left, and it was they malfunctioned, no doubt.
All right, Mark.
Brunson had the bad one, too.
Yeah, Brunson had multiple. Hard. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Guys, how's it going?
Mark and East Brunswick. Yeah. What's up, Mark?
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Yeah, I totally agree with BT. Mitch Robinson shouldn't have been anywhere near Maxey on that play. And I want Brunson with the ball in his hand shooting those free throws at the end of the game. Not Jason Hart, not to take anything away from him, but he's a better free throw shooter. And Julius is just too slow for this team now, especially on the defensive side. And I think a guy like Siakam, who's a free agent, would be a better fit in that spot. That's just my thoughts. I was wondering what you guys think.
Well, and you get a healthy dose of Siakam next series if Indy advances and the Knicks advance. I've always liked Pascal Siakam, stud. Two-way stud. I didn't want to go there now. I mean, you know, the LeBron stuff comes up for a sec. That's a national story. Kevin Durant or Booker, that's a different story. To start looking ways to enhance the roster or blow the roster, we're not doing that today because the Knicks still have a lot of basketball in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's about this series. Now, we could throw it out there, like you said, the story with Booker or LeBron, but we're throwing it out there. This is about the Knicks right now in a battle with the Sixers when they had a chance to put them away. The only thing that makes me feel like Philly has a shot now is because they were dead. And when you don't kill the dead, you let them back up. Now they've got new life. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm following you.
You got to end it. You give them a chance. You give them new life. Philadelphia's got to be feeling great about themselves and feeling like now they have a chance. They were a dead team walking after game four, and with under a minute to go, they were dead in game five. Knicks let them have life, and now they got to be feeling themselves, feeling like, hey, we just win game six at home, and we get it back to game seven where the Knicks already choked game five. Anything's possible in game seven. I mean, even down to the 18 seconds in OT, BT, down 2 points. No, that's when Brunson throws it away with the Hartenstein play. Like, with all the stuff that we brought up, still down two with the ball and 18 seconds to go is not a bad spot to be in, and Brunson just throws it away. Like, what the hell are we doing here?
I don't know. I don't know if this is – it looks like it's accurate. I just did a quick cursory search because I want to get back to the calls here. I don't want to, you know, ignore what you were saying, but I was looking this up. So BetMGM has the updated series odds.
Okay. Curious about this.
Would you guess right now if you had to throw a ballpark on the final two games, if there are two, updated series odds, everybody knows what that means. What do you think the Knicks are right now?
Minus 140?
Minus 375.
Yeah, wow.
I mean,
that's pretty big favor.
I love the Knicks, but I'm not laying 375 to win 100. I don't have that kind of confidence. So, now, Philly, what do you think Philly would be?
Based on that, plus 400?
Plus three. In terms of a betting perspective,
I forgot. Right, you would bet Philadelphia.
Smarter play is you try to. Yeah, I mean, I would never bet against the Knicks, but I'm just saying that's interesting Knicks minus 375, unless they're really banking on, and because of Maxey. Yeah,
but are they trying to suck you into a bet where?
There's always part of that. You know that.
Because the same thing, even with me saying plus 400, that would be more appealing to bet them. Mm-hmm. At plus 300 on the Sixers, like, yeah, okay, it's better odds than the Knicks.
I still think it's fairly appealing.
Right, but if it were plus four, now maybe you suck more people in that way. Maybe I don't know.
Do, but I listen, I think it's kind of glossed over because of Maxey's heroics. Embiid was a shell of himself physically, especially the final few minutes. Yeah, Vegas knows what's going on. Maybe
you would,
he's
you would think,
he ain't right.
What were the odds pre-series? I forget.
I don't know. I didn't check.
You know that too. What the odds
I knew what each game was like.
It was 102-110. The Sixers were favored.
Wow.
It was minus 102 and minus 110. It was that. It was tied.
Yeah, I knew it was close. Are you sure that's what it was?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. If I were
did you bet it?
You bet
no,
the Knicks.
I remember seeing it and going like, wait, that's seriously what they're valuing it as?
So yeah. You bet the Knicks too. If I were going to bet this, and I did not. I've not bet since, like, whatever, early football season. I already told you. Yeah, actually, no, not early football season playoffs. I've not bet since Chiefs, Dolphins.
A rocky road for my partner.
So, if I were going to bet, now, again, take the emotion out of it. Obviously, I don't want to bet against
the Knicks.
You
put $100 on Philly, try to win three.
Well, if I were going to bet in this series, I would have bet Philly down 0-2. That would have been the
tough. Excuse me. I see what you're saying.
Because I felt like the Knicks were in trouble then.
Jeez, down 0-2.
Going to Philly, and you probably would have gotten a great price.
Oh, down Philly's down a game now. If Philly, and they had this, I just didn't check, down 0-2, if then like Philly had to be plus 500, but it had to be. If they're plus 3 down a game,
yeah,
with the next game in their crib, down 0-2, you'd have to think that it would be almost a half a G, maybe plus 600.
Marco is on Long Island. What's up, Marco?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just want to say, I think Tim deserves some of the blame for this. Like you guys were saying before, Tierney, his rotation, like you're saying Achiuwa can't get a few minutes because you're shorthanded with Bogdanovich out. No. I don't understand it.
Well,
these guys, Hart's playing every minute. The guy's exhausted. You can blame him for the free throw and the missed pass, but without him, you might not be in the situation you're in now.
Yeah. The one thing, Marco, thanks for the call there, buddy. In defense of Tom Thibodeau, who dropped the ball late last night, I'm going to stand by that no matter what happens, no matter what, you know, how much people disagree. I put that first and foremost centrally at his doorstep. He lost in the game.
Right, you
I
make
know people
him,
can disagree. I
you
get
make
it.
Him the GOAT.
He's
right,
he's
that's where we disagreed.
Yep.
I would not.
Yep. But who's he going to go to? Outside of Precious, and that's where part of where he messed up. You want to see Alec Burks out? I don't want to see Alec Burks for one sec. I'd rather see a fully fresh Alec Burks than an absolutely half-dead Josh Hart playing 50 minutes. I don't want Alec Burks in the series at all. But Jericho Sims, why would you? The bigs did their job until Mitch malfunctioned at the end. So who else are you going to play? There's nobody else to play.
Yeah, and it's
Bogdanovich
just
is out.
Just a brain lock from Mitch, too, on that play. Like, if you're going to foul, it's not good. But you can't half-ass it.
I know.
You can't go out there and make contact and then try to pull it back. Just make sure the shot doesn't get off then.
Mm-hmm.
You hear the whistle or whatever, or knock the ball. Do something. You can't let him get the shot off there. Oh, man, frustrating every which way you look at it with the... Yeah.
He messed up.
You know, but it takes a lot of things, BT. At that particular point, after the Anunoby dunk,
what a glorious
Yeah,
moment.
You're thinking, all right, the Knicks are going to win the game.
Oh,
and, they should have. 99 out of 100, you close that game out. It takes a lot. It takes a stupid foul combined with a ridiculously impressive
high degree of difficulty play.
Yeah, made shot.
Yes.
Then the missed free throw.
Mm-hmm. Then the not fouling.
Then the not fouling and him making another
36
high
feet.
Degree level shot. Like,
yeah,
then blowing it in overtime. Because even
after he had a 5-0 lead to start.
Yeah. Right. So even if you get past all those things that we just mentioned to get the game, even just to get it tied to overtime, you go to overtime, Brunson, it's the first two buckets, they're up 5-0, you're feeling good. And then they still lose the game. God, man.
I think it's the worst loss in the history of the Knicks.
You think it's worse than Charles Smith?
What's that?
Worse than Charles Smith?
Well, that was a sequence, and did he get fouled, and Charles' knees
were strong.
I mean, that's different.
That loss cost the Knicks a championship and the ability to beat Jordan in the process.
When I say worse, what I mean is there's so many checkpoints where if you do one thing right, you win the game. I don't mean in terms of hurt. I mean, this one hurt. Don't get me wrong.
Where would you rank it in hurt?
Hurt would be behind the Rockets, obviously, in the 94 championship, the Charles Smith game right there.
Game six or game seven, Rockets?
Both, man. You try to win a championship.
No, I know, but if you're just ranking them individually, like
I know what you mean.
Finger roll.
Charles Smith. Well, that was 95 with Patrick with the finger roll. That's up. That's on the short list. But again, that was an isolated, you know, bad play last night. Six things went wrong. I mean, you had to get one of them. Go 1 for 6, you win. They went 0 for 6.
The other losses hurt more, but last night was a game you implosion. Just cannot lose. You can't lose that. All right, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks to Zoo. Thanks to Hoff. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.